You can be seated. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And see how far we can get. Maybe we'll finish the psalm. Maybe we will not. Psalm 1 is a tremendous psalm. Your Bible in Psalms, in when you refer to the singer, it's always Psalms, Psalm 34, or the book of Psalms. It's not like, you know, Revelation isn't Revelations, but the Psalms is split into five books, just like the Pentateuch is. Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and David compiled the five books of the Psalms. It's split up, and I'll just give this to you, 1 through 41, 42 through 72, 73 through 89, 90 through 106, and then 107 through 150. So you've got the five books of the Psalms. Verse 1 in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So let's just park there for a moment. But notice, blessed is the man. And if you've ever heard this psalm preached, you'll see it talks about he walketh not. So it starts off with a disassociative emphasis. He doesn't do this. What doesn't he do? He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. There are a lot of people that will try to give you counsel. People out there, everybody seems to be an expert on so many things, and they're really not. You can't get counsel from a lost person like you need. In other words, they will tend to emphasize things that aren't appropriate, aren't godly, aren't wise. It's worldly wisdom, but not godly wisdom. So he said, look, don't walk in that counsel of the ungodly. And then it talks about standing. So notice it's progressive. You're walking with the ungodly. And once you've walked a while, then you stand still. You get comfortable in it, they say. And you can't get comfortable in sin and think that that's okay. If you never walk in the counsel of the ungodly, you'll never stand, what does it say? In the way of sinners. And then it gets even more progressive and it says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you walk about it, you stand still, and then after a while, you just sit down. And that's when you've gotten ensnared. That's when you're caught with those things that God doesn't want you caught up in. You send a child out to play, he's not going to make the dirt clean. The dirt's going to make him dirty. You know, you get around people that don't love the Lord, you think, well, I'm going to bring them up. They will generally bring you down. Now, you can't separate completely from this world. Jesus said you'd have to go out of the world to do that. So you can't do that. But we're talking about getting comfortable in it. We're talking about who are your friends. My friends are in this church. My friends were in the church in Knoxville. My friends were in the church in Alabama. The people that I associate with most are those that are associated with the Lord. And that's the way I always want it to be. I don't want to be where I'm, you know, hobnobbing all the time. And listen, I get involved with the chamber. And listen, they start off their breakfast with prayer. I get involved in the city council. They start off, you know, with the city council with prayer. The school board, they start off the school board with prayer, and they ask preachers to come in and pray. And listen, they don't limit what you can say. And on the outside of the school board, it says, in God we trust. What an amazing little city we live in. Our little enclave of, and listen, it doesn't mean that Niceville High School is the bastion of Christianity. It's not. You know, I've talked to people and they said, you know, it's got its problems. But listen, it could be a lot worse. And that's what you got to watch out for. That's what you got to watch out with your kids. You got to make sure, look, I'm telling you, if you keep hobnobbing with those people and they're your best friends and they don't know God, you know, you better be talking to them about God, because as you talk to them about God, you know what they're going to do? They're going to say, I don't want to hear it anymore, get away. And that could be the best thing. Or you're going to be able to convert them to Christ, and then you'll have a true friend. So that's the way it needs to work. So when you start looking at this progression, blessed is the man. See, if you look at most religions, they can't offer you a blessing now. You got to blow yourself up, you know, if you want a true blessing from Muhammad. You know, you got to do penance, and you've got to, you know, say this prayer, you know, to Mary and to the saints and to all that in order to be blessed in the future. There's not even a promise of it, you know, at the very end of your life. With God, He says, blessed is now, right now. You can have all the blessings of God in your life right here, right now, and you don't have to wait. It's a tremendous thing. That's Christianity. That's the God we serve. We don't serve a God that says, listen, you gotta blow yourself up. No, He says He wants you to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You know what the Bible says in Hebrews 12? I'll tell you what, go ahead and turn over there. Let's look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 about sin. This is a familiar verse, but again, I think it's important to read these verses over and over and over again. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against God. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what it says? It says, lay aside every weight and the sin. What is the sin and how is it described? Which doth so easily beset us. Everybody has besetting sins. I don't, you know, if I walked into a bar, and I won't walk into a bar even to go witness to people at a bar, it's a bad testimony. If I walked into a bar, I wouldn't be tempted to have a drink, although I used to drink. I would not be tempted to smoke a cigarette, even though I smoked for 9 years. I'm not tempted to go and just do a litany of cuss words, even though I used to cuss like a sailor when I was, you know, 18, 19 years old. I used to have a foul mouth. It's just the way it was. You know, you got influenced by Hollywood. I remember a movie that just cussed left and right. It was one of the last movies I saw, you know, before I went into the Air Force, and I had that type of mouth for a while. Then I got saved. Those sins don't beset me. You know, if I got around somebody and they were drinking, it wouldn't be like, wow, I just wish I could have a drink. You know, you may feel that way every now and then, but it really isn't real. You know, I'm not, that sin doesn't beset me. But there are other besetting sins in my life, just like there are in yours, that will destroy you if you allow yourself to be tempted and go into those sins. And he says this, he says, listen, blessed is the man. You want to be blessed? Here's your recipe. Is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't get counsel from those that don't know the Lord. And if you do, you've got to take it with a grain of salt. You've got to look at it and you've got to say, hey, you know what? They don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand life. They don't understand service to God or church or why I go to church. Or listen, if you take a job in another city, you ought to take that job within mind. I need to find a good church. If there's no good church anywhere around where you're moving to with that job, I would seriously consider whether it was a good move. You know, there are places out west, they've got no churches. You say, well, I can watch online. Yeah, but you can't fellowship like you can by going to church. We were talking today, and, you know, we're looking at, you know, Saturday, we got a gathering over at the Nunleys, the chocolate elephant. You gonna have white chocolate or? I know. It's a good-looking elephant on that backboard back there too. Hey, we're gonna have a white elephant gathering and, you know, exchange gifts. The next week we're gonna have another gathering. The next week we're gonna, you know, on the Sunday we're gonna exchange baskets. Listen, you know what that is? You can't hardly do that when you're separated from everybody else. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, being a scorner is a terrible thing. You remember in the book of Job, his friends were a bunch of scorners. And it hurt. It hurt him. They'll corrupt you before you help them. You've got to be careful being around people like that. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Let me show you something that, if you really think about the import of what this says, you know there are going to be people that are going to argue with God in the day of judgment. God's going to say to them, I never knew you. And they're going to say, well, wait a minute, look at all these things that we did for you. Look at verse 21 in Matthew 7. Well, verse 15 says, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly, they're ravening wolves. Verse 20, by their fruits ye shall know them. 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. What's the will of the Father? To believe on him. That's what he says. Many will say to me in that day, they're arguing with God. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then the Lord, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There are going to be people that are going to argue with the Lord. These are the same people that you might come in contact with in this life. They might be the ones where you start getting counsel from, and then you start standing in the way of sinners, and you start sitting in the seat of the scornful. You're going to say, well, look at all the good things they do. Are they saved? Because they're going to be people in the end time, they're going to think, no, we're okay. We did all these wonderful works. And God says, you did not do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is to believe on the Son and be saved. That's the will of the Father. The will of the Father is not for you to do some great mighty thing for the Lord, something that you can, you know, get all these accolades of the world and all these awards and be, you know, held in such high esteem. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for people that will get saved. You know, there's a saying, you're known by the company you keep. You're known by the company you keep. What's the company you keep? And listen, I look around here, I don't see a bunch of people that, you know, keep bad company. But you are known by the company you keep. You have choices to be blessed or to live ungodly. It's a choice you have. Even as a Christian, you are not made to serve God. It's always a choice. Always a choice. Let's run a few references here. Look at Romans chapter 16. Remember, this thing starts off with the negative first. And it says, blessed is the man that walketh not, that standeth not, that sitteth not. That's what it says. In Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. And what does it say? And avoid them. You are to look at people that are divisive and mark them. That seems like such a negative thing, and avoid them. Why? Because you will become just like them. If you listen to enough negativity, you will become negative. That's why I try not to be a very negative person. I know how to do it. I know how to be negative. I know how to, you know, just yeah, everything. But it doesn't do any good. I have found myself, and I want to be around people that are upbeat, that are positive, that, you know, as long as there's something to be positive about, and I figure if you're focused on Jesus, that's a way to get pretty positive. But if you're focused on the world, you're gonna, you know, you're gonna be negative. It's just the way it is. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Another familiar verse, again, written from a negative perspective. Verse 7, I believe. No, verse 14. Look at what he says. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And here's why he says not to do that. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Boy, that's pretty strong. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's not just marriage. That's relationships. Your relationships, your strong relationships, your enduring relationships need to be with those that love the Lord, those that are saved. Look at another one in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6. The Bible says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which ye have received of us. He says, withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Those are ways to stay out of trouble. If you find yourself surrounded by people that don't love the Lord, you are going to have serious issues. You say, well, I'll be a witness. Yeah, you'll just be like the person that goes to the leper and says, well, I'm going to clean his spots up. I guarantee you, you're going to become a leper before he gets his spots cleaned up. That's the disease of sin. We look at sin many times and we just say, well, you know, we're all sinners, we're all saved. You know, glory, hallelujah, at least I'm going to heaven when I die. You can't get like that. Life is much more than that. Life is about service and serving one another and serving the Lord and being there for one another. All right, go back to the book of Psalms. And we're still in verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's a path that you're on. So you start by walking on that path if you're outside of the will of God. You stand in that way, and then you sit with them. Look at the next book in the Bible at Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 talks about that path and gives some ominous warnings concerning that path. Proverbs 4:14. The Bible says, enter ye into the path, enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. That's what we're talking about in Psalms. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Now, there's four ways of saying pretty much the same thing. Don't go near it. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. I have noticed that people that are drinking want you to drink. I mean, if you've ever been in the military and you go to a gathering, the last thing they want is a sober airman or navyman or marine there. It just doesn't work. They want you to partake, and you say, except they have done mischief. Listen, there are people that they are miserable, don't even know why they're miserable. They drink to get rid of their misery, and it makes it worse, and yet they want to bring that upon everybody else. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just, now we're looking at another path. We looked at the path of the wicked in verse 14, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. What does that mean? It gets brighter. Do you know as the world gets darker, we can get brighter? You might not think of it that way. You know, in the last days, you know, men will wax worse and worse. Perilous times shall come. Listen, it's here. We're there. It's going on. But the thing you got to look at is this verse right here. But the path of the just is as a shining light. And then it says, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It gets brighter. The way of the wicked. Now we're back to the negative. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I don't know how many people I've tried to help up, and they can't even figure out what caused them to fall. What caused them to fall is the darkness where they can't see the path, they can't see the stumbling block. And far too many times it can be a Christian that is the stumbling block, which is why you and I have to be careful that we are not the stumbling block for somebody else. But you look at that contrast there, that the path of the wicked, the path of the just, the way of the wicked, it's darkness and ours is light, and ours is to be a brighter light and getting brighter and brighter. It says, don't hide your light. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I want my light to shine more and more as I see the day approaching. I don't want to get caught up in the world. I don't want to get... Listen, I'm going to do everything I can to read as little as I can so that I don't spend my time getting caught up in all the negativity that goes with, well, you know, we really did this. We really won. And you spend all your time focused on that. We ought to spend our time on the fact that He's still in control. He's still on the throne. Serve Him. Love Him. Be that light. Get brighter. Don't hide your light. Stay focused on the Lord. Back to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. You know, to avoid the depths of sin, you have to avoid the paths of sin. You need to be for certain things, and you need to be against certain things. You need to be like a battery that has a positive and a negative charge. A battery doesn't have two negatives, and it doesn't have two positives. You need to have a positive and negative charge. We looked at the negative charge in the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not, that sitteth not, standeth not, that sitteth not. Look at verse 2. But his delight, whose delight? The man that walketh not. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He dwells on the Bible. He dwells on the Word of God. If you don't dwell on the Word of God, you will be caught up in the very thing that the first verse warns you against. You have to hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Your delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. You say, how can you do that? It's not that hard. When you wake up in the morning, you pray. Talk to the Lord. You go through your day, you pray. When you go to sleep at night, go to sleep praying. When you wake up, you pray. And you talk to the Lord and you have that relationship with Him. And that's the way that relationship's supposed to go. And then, in addition to that, you need to be in the Bible. Put, you know, cassette tapes in. I'm sort of letting you know that I got some eyes on that one. You know, put in that CD. Put in that MP3 player. You know, whatever it takes. Get saturated with the Bible. I've been missing it. I haven't been able to get out much lately. I'm trying to see if I can recover. Every time I think I'm completely recovered, I start hacking again. Probably allergic to the motorhome by now or something. Let's hope not. Got a little while left. I do have a prayer request. We're supposed to be pouring concrete in the morning. That would be nice. I talked to Dave and asked him, I said, well, you know, it's raining all day today. Do I need to get a sump pump out there and pump out, you know, all that water? He said, oh, it'll displace it. You know, that concrete's so heavy, it'll just displace the water and then it'll just settle. And I said, okay, I can sleep tonight. I don't have to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning with a sump pump out there, 30-odd-6 degrees. I said, well, it's going to be 31 degrees. It's going to freeze. He says, it won't be a problem. I said, man, you let me sleep good, brother. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, look at, let's go on to verse 3 of Psalm 1. It says, and he, who is he? He's the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, etc. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's like an evergreen. An evergreen. And it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, you know that on television you can find the prosperity gospel. And that is that God wants everybody healthy. God wants everybody rich. God does not want everybody healthy. Sometimes an illness is to the glory of God. You think about how much more you pray when you have somebody that is suffering with something than you do when you're not, when you don't have that ailment. Turns your face to God more. God is not wanting all of us to walk around in perfect health all the time. Sometimes when you get something going on, you just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm in your hands. I need you. I need your help. But if you were not ill ever, and you walked and never got sick and never had any problems, you know what you'd start thinking? Well, look at me. I'm special to God. You could. He says, prosper. Listen, God doesn't want everybody to have $1 billion. How do you know? Very few people have that much. No, He doesn't want everybody rich. He wants you to prosper. Do you know prospering is much more than just health and money? How do you prosper with friends? Do you show yourself friendly? A man that hath friends shall show himself friendly. If you don't have friends, it's because you do not show yourself friendly. Because anytime you look at somebody and you have a scowl on your face, they look at you and go, I think I'll go make friends with somebody else. And that's what they do. That's why I'm smiling all the time. I want more friends. Actually, it's just who I am. If I don't smile, you can ask me once what's wrong and then just leave it alone. It'll be gone in 24 hours most of the time. Really. I tell people all the time. I have something happen. 12 hours later, I should be over it. 24, almost guaranteed. I've moved on. Because it's not worth it. It is not worth dwelling on the things that cause me ache if I can't fix it, if I did my best not to cause it. Move on. Give it to God. He said he'll prosper. There's nothing wrong with prospering. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's what you do with money. There's nothing wrong with that. It's all in how, is it filthy lucre? Well, if it's filthy lucre, there's a problem with you having filthy lucre. But not all money is filthy lucre. It is all in how you view it and what you do with it. Now, we've looked at the man that walketh not, and now we're going to look in verse 4 at the ungodly. The ungodly are not so. Are not so how? Well, they do walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They do stand in the way of sinners. They do sit in the seat of the scornful. They don't delight themselves in the law of the Lord and meditate day and night on it. They are not like a tree that is an evergreen. And they don't prosper in whatsoever they do. Now, there are ungodly people that have done a lot of things, but when you look, sometimes we look at the outward appearance and we go, well, they got all this stuff. Having all this stuff doesn't make you happy. Having all this stuff doesn't make you content. Having all this stuff doesn't give you joy. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know how valuable chaff is? You know what chaff is, right? You throw the wheat up in the air and the chaff gets blown away and the wheat comes down. I wrote down a definition of chaff. It's intrinsically worthless. If you had a trunk full of chaff, you would have nothing. If you had a train load of chaff, you would have nothing. I heard somebody saying one time, you know, you have the number one, you put the number zero in front of it. We're all zeros, right? You know, you put the zero in front of it, it doesn't change it. But if you put it after it, it's a multiplier. And the more of those that you put, the more of the multiplication that takes place. We're like that. You know, you get in front of God, you're nothing. You get behind God, you let God lead you. You're valuable. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He knoweth the way of the righteous. Well, what does that mean? He doesn't know the way of the unrighteous? I mean, he knoweth the way of the righteous. Somebody that's ungodly says, you know, well, help me, Lord. And God says, well, I'm not even sure where you are. I don't know that way. The righteous person says, help me, God. And God says, I know exactly where you are. I know what path you're on. I can assist you and I will assist you. Look at Job 36. Job is a peculiar book. It's only a couple of pages back, by the way, if you don't want to go back to the beginning and come forward. Job 36, look at verse 6. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but the kings are they on the throne. But with the kings are they on the throne, yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous. God is watching you. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to enjoy life. But you cannot enjoy life without the right relationship with God. You may look around, and if we went to a school right now, do you know the most popular kids are many times? The bullies. Now, I don't know about today, but in my day, it was the bullies. You know, because they intimidated everybody. And then they were rewarded by the more they bullied. I mean, if they throw their weight around and just were, you know, mean and gruff, you know, people were scared of them. Today, it's not as much because I think the mindset has changed. And becoming a bully has now become anathema, which is finally some good. You know, they at least went in the right way. And that's the way it ought to be. Do you know who ought to be in a Christian school, let's say? You know who the most popular kids ought to be? Ought to be the ones that serve the Lord, that lift up Jesus, that do right. You know who the most popular kids ought to be in a school? Those that care about others, those that put themselves out there and show themselves friendly, those that show themselves trustworthy and are a good companion for others. Job's friends showed themselves just the opposite. You ever want to read just a terrible thing? I mean, you know, they're looking at Job and they're saying, well, wait a minute, you're not being judged because you lived right. Yes, he is. You had to do something to suffer like this. He did. He lived godly. And all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The devil went after him and said, you know, I got him. If you just let me take everything he's got that you blessed him with, he'll curse your face. He didn't. You let me touch his body because once I take his health away, he's got nothing. He didn't curse God and die like his wife told him to. Even his wife turned on him. What a terrible thing. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and we'll close with this. Psalm 34, verses 15 and 16. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. You can take that right there to the bank. You know, the Bible says you're not to make friendship with the world, James 4:4. In 1 John 2:15, it says you're not to love the world. Because if you do those two things, you'll be like Romans 12:2, and you'll become conformed to the world. Conformed to the world. Jesus' answer to everything in Matthew 4 when he was tempted was, he said, is it not written? Your only hope for strength is the Bible. Your only hope for figuring out how to get through life and how to raise your children and how to love your husband, love your wife, how to just get through day by day comes from this book and this book alone. That's why we have preaching in a church. As long as it's not a homily. As long as it's not, look, you come on in, I'll tell you a couple of stories, make you laugh a few times, send you out. You've laughed, you've gotten some good, you know, lung exercise. But it hasn't changed you. Preaching is supposed to affect us. It's supposed to change us and mold us and conform us greater to the image of God. We're supposed to learn about God so that we can emulate who He is. Let Him live His life through us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what church is about. Now, we do a lot of other things. You know, we have fellowships and we do all, and that's all designed for the same purpose. And that is to draw each of us closer to each other, to draw us closer to Christ. As we draw closer to Christ, we draw each other closer one to another. Looking at Psalm 1, I hope you'll read it this week. Meditate on Psalm 1 this week. Let it truly affect you. It tells you what not to do, how to be blessed, how to prosper. It gives you the contrast between the blessed man, the righteous man, and the ungodly man. Let it affect you. That is why that psalm is here. That is the very first psalm. And these psalms were numbered by God. You know that because in Acts 13:33 it says, "And in the second psalm," and it's quoted by Paul, the second psalm is quoted. They're numbered by God. This is not happenstance. This is the Bible. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. Just pray, Lord, that You would guide, lead, and direct us. Lord, help us to be faithful servants of Thee. And pray that we will be blessed, we will prosper, we will meditate day and night upon Thy Word. We're not under the law, but the law can impact our relationship one with another. Help us not to be described as the ungodly. Help us not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. Lord, help us to draw closer to Thee and so much more as we see the day approaching. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen. We'll have a short invitation just as the song is being played. Just pray and ask God to help you to live according to His will and His way.